Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
It's been a cold crypto winter for some time. There's been a broad decline in crypto prices. Just look at the headlines. The U.S. crackdown seeking to push crypto to the fringes of finance. Investors have been leaving some exchanges like Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange, which itself is battling with existing U.S. regulations. But at home, DBS Group Holdings recently reported an uptick in Bitcoin trading on its digital exchange. The number of Bitcoin traded on DBS's digital exchange surged 80% last year. The number of Bitcoin in custody doubled from a year earlier. Wow, a surge of 80% in the middle of crypto winter? How's that happening? So while crypto markets deal with battered confidence, we can ask, has the market shifted towards areas where there is a focus on trust? As we look to what could be next for crypto, we'll also discuss the relationship between crypto and AI as we look ahead to the future of what could lie in store for cryptocurrencies. So when it comes to AI, how could it impact the future of cryptocurrencies, and what is the nexus of relationships between the two? I was on YouHodler recently, and I read how traders are using ChatGPT to get an edge over the competition for AI crypto trading advice. So traders actually looking to chat GPT for knowledge before they trade. Crypto experts apparently training ChatGPT with a specific computer language. It's called PineScript, and that to develop a trading view for a bot that can provide useful instructions on market data about popular crypto. Now, we prefer talking to humans for our crypto knowledge, so I've invited Samantha Yap, founder and CEO of Yap Global, to join us today. How are you doing, Samantha?
I'm doing well. Good to be back on the show, Michelle.
Great to speak with you. So share with us your thoughts on where the crypto space is so far since the fallout of FTX, Three Arrows. What's the extent of damage so far?
Yeah, so we are well into the crypto bear market. And even this past week in the US, you would have seen the SEC have started to issue warnings or, you know, charges. So, for example, last week, Kraken had to suspend its staking as a service solution because it was regarded as securities. And so, you know, usually what happens in the US, what regulators are doing in the US, it does have implications globally because people do look at that. And even this week, Paxos, which is a US-based custody provider, they were told to stop minting BUSD, which is a stablecoin created by Binance or run by Binance. So, or the team behind Binance. So, yeah, there is a lot of what people in the industry say, FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. But myself, I work with a lot of, because we're a PR firm and we work with a lot of the projects and the companies that are building. We're really seeing a filtering out of the ones that are the true believers and the ones who were just, you know, here for the market opportunity. But yeah, we're going to see a filtering out of the companies and the projects that are truly here to stay. So yeah, that's what we're observing at the moment.
You mentioned, I think, something about crypto staking. Can you share with us a little bit about how that space is evolving and how a crackdown there could change investing in that space?
Yeah, so for those who don't know what staking is, and I'm going to try to explain it. Basically, over the last 2 years, banks and institutions have now recognized that Bitcoin and Ethereum are, you know, asset classes, or like they're regarded as an asset. You know, that has been a big improvement from when, you know, Ethereum was created in 2014. So we're here now. Now, the interesting thing that you can do with your Ethereum, for example, your idle Ethereum assets, instead of just holding it and letting it ride the market volatility, because it is volatile, you know, one day Ethereum price could be, you know, $3,000 USD per ETH, and then it could drop, is to stake it, which means it's to basically put it back into the network so that it could, because, you know, Ethereum has moved into a proof of stake kind of model where you don't really need miners to verify the network. So in a nutshell, people can still earn money by staking their idle ETH assets. So that's
leaving the exchanges. Yeah.
And so what happened with Kraken last Friday was you can either do it with an exchange or you can do it on a decentralized protocol because crypto and Ethereum are decentralized. If you're doing it with an exchange, well, if you do it with Binance or you do it with Kraken, Kraken and Binance hold your data and they hold your coins. They actually, you know, they're like essentially still like a bank. And so the risk is if there was a collapse of an exchange, and we've seen that last year with FTX, then you will lose all your money and your tokens. Well, your tokens, which, yeah, has value to it. But if you stake with a decentralized protocol, well, if you have access to your wallet, not your keys, not your coins, is that, you know, a dodge that people like to say in the crypto industry, you'll still have ownership of those assets. So yeah, that's kind of the differences. And so what we're seeing is the collapse of the exchanges and the markets over the last few months has been a reminder to everyone that actually the true use of crypto and, you know, the safer use of crypto actually is to hold your own coins. Because you can do that in your own wallet.
Transfer it out to a cold wallet.
Yeah, to a cold or like a hardware wallet, so a Ledger or a Trezor. You know, but it is still scary because, you know, if it's like a few hundred dollars, I think some people are comfortable with that. But, you know, people are putting millions into these hardware drives and you have to really trust yourself to not forget your passphrase and your codes. But so basically, I think self-custody is now back as a hot topic this year in this crypto winter.
Indeed, as we see what pans out with crypto staking, just recently Coinbase's global head, Brian Armstrong, escalated his war of words with the SEC. He warned yesterday that he had heard rumors that the agency wants to, quote unquote, get rid of crypto staking by retail investors. So maybe now is a good time to look into those wallets. All right, let's talk a little bit about, did you want to add something to that?
I think also what's happening, and I speak from the perspective of the crypto industry is, yeah, people still want to work with regulators, but regulators, yeah, they really do need to collaborate more with the crypto industry, because if they make these hard line stances or statements or rulings or rules, it really is going to pack innovation. And yeah, that will be a real shame if they continue this way. So that's just what I would say.
Meantime, when it comes to chat groups, you see a lot of optimism amongst crypto traders for where Bitcoin could be heading. Some say 25,000, some say 30,000. There are signs of inflation cooling, and the Fed is slowing its interest rate hike. Bitcoin's rebounded from its December lows. Traders betting that the Fed could declare a victory in its war against soaring inflation. We've been talking about what this means for equities, but what do you think this renewed optimism around the slowing of interest rates could mean for Bitcoin? Do you expect the bull run to continue for the rest of the year?
Bitcoin is very hard. To speculate on the price is something that, you know, I can't do. But what I can say is the interest in this technology and crypto is, with every high and every crash, you really do see a strengthening of conviction in the market. So, you know, as I said, the true believers who genuinely believe in the fact that Bitcoin and, you know, Ethereum is the future of money, I think right now people are just strengthening their convictions in it. What I do see, though, is more activity in building things. So in the more kind of tech side of things, you're just starting to see a lot of, you know, a lot of teams still hire developers, still building these applications, because a lot of these applications are being built on these blockchains, on the Ethereum blockchain, for example. And so I think that is a big factor of the interest in the currency, and that might hit, you know, impact the price as well and the interest in it. In terms of the macro impacts, like you said, you know, inflation is easing. I just think back to during the pandemic, during, you know, the COVID pandemic, it was actually a catalyst for crypto to grow. So yeah, I guess that says something about.
Let's talk a little bit about what everybody's talking about, and that is an AI chatbot, ChatGPT, and what it could mean for cryptocurrency as a whole. I won't ask you what it means for crypto traders. I dug into that myself and found it quite interesting that crypto traders are already on it. They've come up with their own language. They're trying to train ChatGPT to help them out with real-time data of the market to inform their trading choices. I think that's so fascinating. But what do you see as a relationship between cryptocurrencies and this rise in the AI chatbot race?
I'm going to have an unpopular opinion. I think it's all hype. I think that, I mean, ChatGPT was obviously, it's a great tool. I mean, I know there are people who use it. I run a PR team. I think some people in my team might use it to have a base, but I'm like, you know, please make sure there's a human still fact-checking and checking kind of like the content. So no, we don't obviously use it to replace our work. But I do think AI is, you're starting to see a lot of the companies or projects kind of launch, and you know, there's marketing AI as a service. And so I think that really is just a new buzzword and it's riding on the hype. I really do think it's important to know that, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning, there's a lot of research and development that needs to go into it. And I think the companies that use AI, I think that there are more productive ways to use it. And I don't really know the link between crypto trade movements and AI. Yeah, maybe you could do that, but I think it's still on the hype. Well, it's the next hype train, essentially.
It's a big theme, certainly a big theme for 2023 for people to look into. And you see all these companies that are already springing up that are helping other companies integrate ChatGPT, for example, AI technology into their companies. We had a founder on just 2 days ago, and he was talking about how it was just incredible. It had cut down exponentially the life cycle of how long it would take to launch a particular aspect of his trading algorithm setup from 6 months to 2 months. And it was just outstanding what people are already doing. Let's talk a little bit about Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange. I started by mentioning a couple of the headlines, investors leaving Binance, according to Barron's, in a big way. Binance helping to assemble a consortium of cryptocurrencies. And the idea is to rebuild trust in the industry and, you know, contribute where it can to shaping up of regulation. So what are your thoughts on Binance attempting to rebuild trust in the crypto market?
I think it's a great initiative. I'm not too familiar with it right now because it's just recently announced and grown, but I do think it's important for companies and projects in the industry to come together. And as I said earlier, like work together with regulators, because I think I do recognize that a lot of retail investors have been hurt over the last year, but I think it comes with education and even just with showing that, you know, there's a group of people and there's a consortium that it's not all scams. People do want to build, you know, the foundations of the future of money here. It's just to grow, to gain adoption for this industry, we just have to weather these really, really high highs and really awful crashes because it's still early, actually, and that hence why it's so volatile.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your insight. Samantha Yap is founder and CEO of Yap Global. They're a PR consultancy that reach out to firms in the crypto space. I'm Michelle Martin. You've been listening to Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.